Good morning, good afternoon, good night. Welcome, welcome, welcome to episode 40 of Positivity Spartans. It's your boy Isaiah Hubbard back again with my co-host as always, Marcellus Majestic James, Eric Lane. And we are joined today by a very special guest, Ms. Raven Williams. She is a certified nutritionist through the National Academy of Sports and Medicine. She's also an advanced yogi specializing in, correct me if I'm saying this wrong, pranayama?
Yes, pranayama.
Pranayama, hatha, and comedic yoga. She is also the founder of Find Your Light, which focuses on integrating pranayama and comedic yoga geared towards women, but available to men and children as well. Now that was a mouthful for me. I'm sorry, I ran out of breath. So how's everybody doing today?
Good.
Doing well, bro.
Doing well. Marcellus, how's everything going with you, my brother?
Pretty good, man. Had a good, relaxing, chill weekend, so.
Good chill weekend. I did want to kind of do a little health and wellness check, man, because I feel like it's been a minute since we checked in on everybody, man. So how's everybody mental?
I mean, I got 3 kids under 3, so.
Ooh. yeah, so you're always on the go, huh?
Yes.
I can dig that, man. I'm going to tell y'all right now, I'm tired.
I was about to say the same.
Yeah, man, I'm tired. So this is my first week back in the gym off COVID and everything. So getting back in the flow, man, was a little bit difficult, but I am tired. I'm ready. I might go to sleep after this episode. I ain't even gonna hold y'all. Oh, man. Eric, how's ALC going, my man?
It's cool, bro. Definitely a different experience, you know, being intertwined with the Garden Reserve, but I'm just here, bro, as a prerequisite to get this money. That's how I feel.
I feel that. But let's get to it. We're here to talk about nutrition. I am very excited about this episode, personally, because I need to get my life together when it comes to nutrition, because I'm not getting any younger, and all I eat is snacks whenever I get the urge to eat snacks. So I definitely need to find a nice little balance. Raven, when did you first get involved in your long list of certifications? When did you get into nutrition?
Well, for me, nutrition was a byproduct for yoga for me.
Okay.
I originally started teaching yoga about 7-8 years ago. And as I got more into teaching yoga, I realized that a lot of people didn't stick with yoga because they couldn't breathe. Mm. It takes a lot of breath and energy to flow in and out of movements in yoga. So that pushed me into, okay, I'm going to start researching the things that cause you to have blockages to not be able to breathe properly. And as I started to research it, I was like, I am doing all of my clients an injustice by not having additional certifications in nutrition, because I need to be able to speak to them candidly about what they're eating and what they're not eating and how that helps them breathe better to be able to get into poses better. So about 4 years ago, I actually had a client come to me and she was like, can you come and meal prep for my daughter? And I was like, what? I don't cook for people. And she was like, no, because she's in the 8th grade. She's getting ready to go to high school and she's overweight and she's afraid of being picked on. And I was like, so you automatically assume that I eat right? And she was like, you know, and I didn't have the answers for her. And I felt very ignorant in that conversation. And so after that, I was like, okay, they're never going to catch me slipping again.
Right.
And so after that, I was like, bam, okay, I'm going to go get master certified in nutrition, because the next time someone asks me that question, I'm going to be able to assist. So that was kind of like the catalyst for me.
Nice. Okay. So it was kind of like one of those epiphany moments. Like you got to ask the question. You're like, oh man, I don't know the answer. And you just went out and got it.
Exactly. And, you know, since then, it's been insane. Like, I've had such a spectrum of people come to me, you know, like from the mom who just wants to keep up with her kids at the park, the athlete who wants to perform better, the preacher who just wants to preach longer. Like I said, the little girl who was at school and didn't want to get picked on.
Right.
It's been wild.
That breaks my heart right there. I mean, awesome, I love that she reached out to like do that, but that breaks my heart that she, you know what I mean, that we live in a society that things like that happen.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it was definitely heartbreaking, but in the same sense, at that particular instance, I was doing a retreat for a church. I was doing just a 3-day come in power workout with the church and, you know, leave. Mm. And on the last day, that's when her mother came to me and it was like, I didn't even realize. So that actually led me into doing an obesity camp for overweight little girls. It led me into like this whole little thing because like you said, it was just heartbreaking. It was like, what? Right. Like, it's kids that are worried about this when they got soda machines all up and down the hallway. Like, insane.
See, and that's another thing, you know, I wanted to bring up in nutrition, the lack of it. I wouldn't say lack of it in schools. I mean, because I know when I was in school, I mean, there was rarely any healthy options for food. I mean, we was getting pizza, you know what I mean, fried chicken and all types of hot dogs, you know what I mean, things we shouldn't have been eating at that time.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so crazy when you think about, like, the lack of accessibility to healthier foods, because Baltimore City actually just did a massive, like, whole entire study where they made healthier food options more available to the inner city, just to see if it was available at the same price as a cheeseburger, would people eat a salad? Right. Because when you look at a menu, you see, okay, well, a salad is, let's say, $3.19. And a large fry will be $2.19. And that dollar difference for people who live in the inner city speaks volumes. So when they did that study and they made all of these healthier foods accessible, they realized that the rate at which people were eating healthier foods rose by like 57%. Wow. So it was insane to see, like, okay, well, yeah, we're going to all eat these foods if it's available to us at that cost. But people have this predisposition that eating healthier means that it's going to be more costly.
Right.
And that's not always necessarily the case. It just depends on what you're eating and what you're choosing and how you go about choosing it, because and how you prepare it. That's even more, because people eat healthy, but then they go to season it. And it's like, by the time you get to the end of that salad, that is not a salad, you know?
Right. They got a little bit of lettuce with their ranch.
Exactly. Exactly. So yeah, it's amazing. It's amazing to see that, like, campaigns like McDonald's, for instance, which is one of the bigger campaigns, and they have the golden arch and it's red, and that's their lead mm-hmm. color. And a lot of people don't know that red is the color that triggers indulgence in the brain. Ooh. And so when you look at the sign, it automatically, it's a mental game that they're playing in their marketing. It automatically triggers that part of your brain that goes, oh, I'm going to overindulge. I need that. That one particular nerve in your brain, when you see the color red and your eyes recognize it, it triggers that. So you were talking about apples, strawberries, cherries. I mean, we can go on and on about good right. foods that are the color red, but you don't see them that often. So they don't trigger that nerve for you because you just don't see it. It's not available for you to look at.
That's mind blowing to me. That's a gem right there. Cause I did not know that. I did not know that right there. That's incredible. I mean, when you look at it, like you said, for as big as McDonald's is, you know, I mean, that marketing scheme, it makes sense now.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, and it's so crazy because just imagine if there was a campaign about that reality, that's what they're doing, the manipulation. Right. Just think about how many different people would put that into their brain, and then that would trigger a different reaction because you have that in your brain now that you're being manipulated when you right. look at it. And so if you have that in your brain, most people don't like the idea of being manipulated by an outside source.
For sure.
So that's going to trigger something totally different in your brain to reject it, but they don't let you know that that's even a factor. That's something that's really real. And if you look at even all of them, look at Chick-fil-A, their sign is in red cursive. Burger King. So if you just look at the color schemes, the yellows and the golds that trigger that same nerve of indulgence, you end up realizing, oh man, it's everywhere.
I'm just thinking Raising Cane's, Wendy, Whataburger, Pizza Hut.
I mean, think about it. I mean, really think about it. You can probably layer the list. Red Robin. I mean, you can probably just go down the list. And yeah, it's ridiculous when you do your research and you realize that. And that was one of the major, like you said, it was one of the major gems of getting my certification in nutrition, was that it's a marketing scheme. The way that they put everything out there. And I was like, wow. Okay, well, I won't be manipulated.
Right. It's so, amazing. They're attacking the psychological like that. Like, that's amazing.
Exactly.
So what is one of the superfoods? What are some superfoods that you like to utilize in your nutrition plans?
Okay. So we have, of course, we have our oatmeals, which is a go-to for everyone. I always mention oatmeal because everyone eats oatmeal. Well, a lot of people eat it. I've run into a lot of people lately who don't eat oatmeal.
I don't.
Oatmeal would be considered a superfood. See, oatmeal, whole wheat bread, it's those simple little switches. So if you're a bread person, finding the equivalent of a whole wheat bread that you can eat in lieu of white bread. Then we have, of course, this oils, like instead of butter, olive oil. People don't really know that things like vegetable oil and those low quality, inexpensive oils like vegetable oil cause mucus buildup, and they cause indigestion. They cause acne breakouts. You know, so for me, for instance, just not even in the last week, I ran out of olive oil. And I have grapeseed oil. I have almond oil. I have a lot of oils in my home. But I was like, it's no big deal. I don't even really saute food that often. So I'm going to, you know, use a little bit of vegetable oil. And I started to get headaches. And I was like, this is insane. It's just like a little dab of vegetable oil. And something as simple as just changing the oil that you cook your everyday foods in could dramatically change your diet. Then you have avocado and beans. All types of beans. I mean, we're talking black beans, black-eyed peas, lentils, lima beans. I mean, the list of beans, whichever you're choosing may be, goes on and on. And then you have barley and quinoa and brown rice. These will all be considered superfoods because they have those omega-3s that you're looking for that the body processes well.
That's a lot of superfoods. You named way more than I actually knew. That's awesome. Quinoa is one of my favorites. I enjoy some good quinoa.
And you know what's crazy is that I do not like, that was the last thing that I gave up was rice. I am a white rice, Dale Holmes, give me some mashed potatoes kind of girl. So for me, it was like, okay, you can take everything else, but you will not take my bread and you will not take my rice because my starches, you won't take them from me. And so that was hard for me because I'm a texture person. And the texture of quinoa is just not, it doesn't sit well with me. It doesn't go down.
I hear that a lot from like people when they say they try to eat healthy is they can't eat a lot because they're texture eaters.
Yeah, and that's a lot of people's issue is the texture. So when you're thinking about how to dress up your plate, I run into a lot of my colleagues who tell people, well, you know, you should go vegan or go pescatarian, and they have all these ideas and predispositions as to why you should do one thing over the other. Me, I'm more of a everything in moderation kind of person. So just don't overindulge. You don't have to dramatically say, okay, because for me, I'm a vegetarian. I'll never give up eggs and I'll never give up dairy. I just won't. So for me, I'm a vegetarian, and you have vegetarians, you have pescatarians, you have vegans. And, you know, the vegans are the ones for animal right purposes. They don't eat or partake in anything that goes to or comes from an animal, you know, and then you have pescatarians who eat fish, and some of them also dabble in dairy and eggs as well. But for me, it's just about not overindulging. It's about changing the way you look at food, because what's important to remember is that food it's fuel. It's not for enjoyment or comfort. That's Western civilization. Right. We do that here. Everywhere else, they eat food for energy. You eat food because you want to get through your day. You eat food because you want to get through the meeting. You eat food because you want to perform sports better. You eat food. It's not for comfort. You don't eat food because you're sitting in front of your television and your fingers are bored.
Right.
You know, so it's that Western civilization philosophy that they put into your head that, oh, food is for enjoyment. And the way they decorate it. I have a friend who decorates the food for Applebee's commercials.
Wow.
And she gets paid $70,000 a year to do that job.
Wow.
And I was like, Chris, hold up. So you telling me that when the Applebee's commercial come on, the way that that burger just sizzles.
They be looking amazing in the commercials.
Thank you. I mean, and it never looks like that when you're at Applebee's.
They actually add stuff that isn't edible at times or doesn't appeal to that meal.
And that's what she was telling me. Like, it's not even real food. It's like prop food, friend. Like, prop food. And when she told me that, I'm like, me. That was mind blowing for me. That was like a mind blowing moment because I was like, wow, like you really getting paid all that money to just manipulate me. I just don't understand it.
That kind of it's amazing. Oh, I'm sorry. It's a little glitch.
Period. It's amazing. That's it.
That kind of reminds me of my boy that I traveled to Washington with. He rode with me. And each time I'd be like, bro, we need to get some food. I'm hungry. He'd be like, stop saying that. I'd be like, why can't I say I'm hungry? Like, I'm hungry. He'd be like, you're not hungry. Your body is in need of nourishment. He was like, the foods that you're eating, you made your body crave those things. But your body actually needs nourishment. The food that you're eating, it's not being used for nourishment. It's simply used as a solid to make you feel as if you're fulfilled. Yeah.
Absolutely, it's nutrient dense. Most of the foods that you consume are nutrient dense, so that's why you can eat so much of it, because it has no nutrients. If you're eating a proper balanced diet, you eat less naturally because you crave less. If you're eating nutrient dense foods, then your body's going to say, I'm still hungry, more. And that connection of your brain to your stomach is really real. And so when you convince yourself, it's just the same concept of affirmations. When you convince yourself of something and you say it over and over again, eventually the brain is going to believe it. So if you just keep saying, I'm starving, I'm hungry, like, oh, I just want to eat, eventually your brain's going to go, okay, stomach, kick into gear. Right. He said this 10 times. You know, so you end up fooling yourself into really thinking that you're really hungry when really you're not. And I think that's like a really major point. Like, most of the time you can drink water and cure that same craving.
You know, that's a great segue, because I definitely wanted to ask what's your opinions on like how important water is when it comes to nutrition?
Water is essential. It should be your favorite food.
I drink bottles of water. Water
should be your favorite food. I drink so much water that I often tell my friends, like, okay, so I drink a gallon a day. I've gotten to the point now where I almost two, because I drink 1 gallon and then I'm like, okay, well, I need more water. Like, why do I feel dehydrated? And my friends will go, you're not dehydrated. You're crazy. Like, you just guzzle water. I'm like, but it's literally my favorite food.
I'm not gonna lie. I started maybe last year, doing like a gallon a day. And at first, it was difficult. I'm not gonna lie. It was real difficult for me to drink, like, just drink all that water. But like, once I got it down, now it's just like, oh, water. Just like a bottle of water is gone in seconds to me. Like, that's enough. That's a sip.
Yeah, absolutely. You got to think about it though, because your bladder is just like your stomach. It shrinks and it expands. It shrinks and it expands. So for instance, if you go and you start, let's say, like, it was trending a while back where people were like putting milk on the side of water bottles so that they could to get through the day. And when you start drinking a gallon of water, you go, okay, your body, you're going to use the bathroom first. You're going to be constantly back and forth to the bathroom because your bladder is not accustomed to being that full so often. You initially have to get over that hump of, okay, now that I've gotten over that hump and now I'm not going to the bathroom every couple of minutes, now your body is just going to start to do what it's supposed to do with that water. And you are made of mostly water. So your body's going to go, okay, well, now this is what I need versus this is being forced on me.
Makes sense.
Pretty awesome. Makes perfect sense. How do you feel about, in the Black community, there's lack of nutrition when it comes to our food? And I had a discussion with one of my friends that's a personal trainer. And he was saying a lot of health issues in the Black community are not hereditary. It's simply us making bad choices from adolescence all the way to adulthood. So what's your opinion on that? Because he said, from his perspective, hereditary means like you were born with something. like, you know, a baby having, I don't know, I can't use a perfect example right now, but, you know, what's your opinion on health issues being hereditary due to lack of proper nutrition?
Here's my thing. I think that genetics, that's real when it comes to any fitness or nutrition goals, and they cannot mm-hmm. be pushed to the side. Because it's very important that you know if your family is predisposed to diabetes or hypertension or cancer or obesity. It's very important that you know those things. But my thing is, those things are not law. Once you have the knowledge of knowing, okay, well, my family's predisposed to diabetes or heart disease or whatever the case may be, then you take action. And if you take action, you can easily take that rate of, say, hey, your mom is predisposed to diabetes and your dad is predisposed to diabetes. Does that up your rate or your chance of having diabetes? Absolutely. But does that absolutely mean you're going to have diabetes? No. Because you can make an action plan for yourself. And the reality of it is that most of my clients are white. They're Caucasian, period. And it's sad because when I run into the African American community or I do work in the African American community, it's always, I don't know if it's fear. I don't know if it's just, we're so comfortable that a lot of African Americans don't think about the nutritionist or the dietitian or genetics. African Americans, they see the doctor and by then they're already getting a diagnosis, and the work for my field becomes 10 times harder at that point. I have African Americans who come to me, but they rarely come to me before they get the diagnosis. They come to me like, my doctor told me, you know, I failed my pre-screening for diabetes and I need to make a change. Or my father just got diagnosed with pancreatic cancer and now I need to make a change. Or my grandmother has heart disease. It just goes on and on and on. But the average African-American that comes to me is coming to me with a diagnosis. And the major difference that I have to tell people is, one, I'm a nutritionist. And the major difference between a nutritionist and a dietitian is that dietitians are able to work with both sick and healthy people. They're qualified for that. They go through all the extra teachings and the learnings to be qualified in that field. As far as nutritionists, we specialize in healthy people. We specialize in people who don't have those diagnoses. So by the time you come to me, I have to recommend you, refer you to a colleague, because I'm not qualified to do that. You've waited too long. So it's important that you are armed with that information about your genetics so that you can have an action plan before the diagnosis.
Better to be proactive than reactive in that situation.
Absolutely.
That was a great question, Lane. I like that.
Yeah, bro.
That leads me into a quote I read from Hippocrates. Our food should be our medicine and our medicine should be our food. And I think that that right there is definitely touched on it. You know, being proactive instead of reactive when it comes to your nutrition and your body should be something that should be top tier on your list, right up there with drinking tons of water. Am I right?
Absolutely. You definitely want to. There are small ways that you can make changes to your diet. So, for instance, meat should never be the largest. Right. It shouldn't be the centerpiece of your meal. Everything else, so meat should always be a garnish. That's how I like to think of it. I tell my clients, like, okay, meat should be your garnish. So we laugh at those little plates that we see at restaurants, right, you know, that are all pretty and small and you pay hundreds of dollars for. But the reality of it is that that's portion control and portion size meals. That's how much you're supposed to eat crazy. And then be full.
I'm a big carnivore, so like I'm a big chicken breast kind of guy. So I eat like at least 2 chicken breasts per setting. And so
So then if you eat 2 chicken breasts, you need to start with, okay, I eat 2 chicken breasts. Yeah. I need to eat twice that in fruits and vegetables. Mm-hmm. Whole grain. Right. So I'm not saying stop eating chicken breasts. Stop. I'm not, because that's drastic. And the body doesn't really respond well to drastic changes. So you want to just start with little small stuff. So if you eat meat every day, so you want to one day a week, say today, tonight, it's going to be all
that's
vegan.
Sustainable.
And then, yes, exactly. And you want to start your morning off with whole grains. So oatmeal, you take like oatmeal. So in the morning, you want to say, okay, I'm going to take oatmeal. And then if you take that oatmeal and you want to kick it up a notch, you say, I'm going to put fruit in my oatmeal. And then if you want to kick it up another notch, you say, I'm going to add flaxseed or sunflower seeds or, that's my favorite. I can't even think of it. And I eat it all the day.
Yeah.
But yeah, so you just want to kick it up a notch with flaxseed, just any of those seeds that you can just add on top of it. And then you also want to try a variety of leafy greens and don't be afraid of things that look different.
Yeah.
You know, like,
just
we eat the same stuff. Yeah, kale, I love spinach. Yeah, me personally, spinach is like go too. You know, I'm a mom, so like, yeah, exactly. Popeye all day. Yeah, exactly. So my kids, I have to meal prep, you know, so meal prepping is like vital to me. Like, there's no way around it. I can't cook on the fly. Like, it has to be the same stuff every week. I love zucchini. I love spinach. I eat the same stuff, period. That's it.
Right.
Because that works for me.
How do you,
so you just
how
have
do you,
to find what
find
works
the best
for
way
you.
To meal prep? Do you cook it all in one day for the week, like on a Sunday?
Okay. Oh, yes, exactly, on Sunday. So on Sunday, I cook for the whole entire week. Period. Even for my kids are not, I'm a vegetarian, but I don't force that onto my children because it's just really unrealistic. My kids are 3 and 1 years old. The idea that they are going to be sustained by a vegetarian diet is just too much for me to process. So I literally on Sunday turn my kitchen into like a conveyor belt. And I'm like, okay, bam, I'm making loads of this and loads of this. The only thing I don't prep is breakfast because I wake up in the morning and I cook my breakfast hot. But yeah, so you just, that's the easiest way for me. But some people don't like to do it that way. Some people can, you know, only meal prep for 2 days at a time, maybe three, you know,
because
you can't eat the same thing. A lot of people get bored eating the same thing over and over again. So that doesn't work for you. So maybe you start off, I'm going to meal prep every 2 days. So I know what I'm eating today and tomorrow. Then I'll come back to the drawing board on Wednesday.
Just, like you said, find out what works for you.
Yeah, there's no one size fits all in nutrition. It just doesn't. I have this argument religiously with my colleagues. Like, you're crazy if you're telling me you have a book, a list of clients that's 25, and you're telling me that you're telling all 25 people the same thing, you're doing them an injustice. Period. Because it's no way that 25 people are gonna have, you can't, it's not a script that you can read off of. So my clients, I give everyone a questionnaire. There are certain things I need to know about you before I can offer you a diet plan that I think will work for you. Because if I don't get to know you personally, then, oh yeah, of course. I mean, we all got the rule book. We can just go down the list and say, okay, these are the 10 things they suggest you eat, but it doesn't stick. And if it stuck and it was that easy, they wouldn't need you.
How can I say this? What the things worth having in life you have to work for.
Definitely. For sure. You definitely have to work for them. I mean, but a good nutritionist helps too, and then you don't have to work and you can pay us to do it.
Absolutely.
But
speaking of which, I visited your website earlier. You want to go ahead and let the people know about that one and where they can find you?
Yes, you can find me at www.findyourlightmama.com. Like I said, it's geared towards African-American women because that's what I am. That's what I know. But I also have packages on my website that are available for men, children as well. So you just check me out and you'll see all the options.
Really?
Thank you. I did that myself. I just got too big for my britches now where I had to bring somebody else in to do it. But that design right there, that's all me.
It's really easy to navigate. It's a very well put together website. No problem at all. So
thank you.
Let's talk about a little music. So what kind of music do you listen to?
Oh, man. I'm not really... I listen to all different types of music, honestly. Right now, I'm in a space where I'm listening. I'm trying to be more conscious of what I absorb. So I've been listening to like Mondrell because he has the meditative music wave on lock right now. So I've been listening to that. That's it, really. Just that. Because right. I just feel like music, I don't know what else is out there.
It definitely provides energy, and you want to keep that good energy. So I definitely dig that. What about y'all, gentlemen? What y'all been bumping?
Yeah, definitely.
Man, I went back to old school ASAP this week. you know how, like, music takes you on like a nostalgia trip sometimes, and I was listening to Fast and Killer, and it like brought me back to some
for sure. Pretty good times. I listened to a lot of music from 2016, and I'm just like, what a time to be alive. Okay, Jake. About you, Lane. What's up, man?
Oh man. Man, bro, I've been in the Kendrick Lamar mood lately, bro. Like, I listen to
That is one of my favorite albums from him, though. No?
I have not even listened to that at all.
Bro, I'll be trying to put Raven on the good music, man.
I'm a Lamar fan, but I just, like I said, I've just been trying to be more conscious.
Maybe you should start with like old Kendrick.
That's why I say old Kendrick. Every album before this one, I can I know. Yeah, so that's why I'm like, that's weird. I haven't even given that a listen to.
If you don't check out any song, do me the solid. Check out Mortal Man and just listen to it all the way through.
Mortal Man.
Yeah, Mortal Man.
Okay, will do. Definitely. I've been like in all of you guys' Facebooks all day. You know, like. Trying to get who I was dealing with and talking to.
Yo. AJ. She's not gonna listen to it, bro. I send her music all the time.
I listen to every track that you send me. Play me better. I just don't always come back with a review because I got three kids under three, but I listen to it.
Speaking of reviews, we do appreciate your honest, candid feedback in regards to improvements we can do. You're actually you're probably the first person to give us some candid feedback like that. Normally people are like, great. Oh yeah, the podcast is good. Right. You know, keep doing good. But no one gives us like things we can do to actually improve to make it better. Mm-hmm. So,
I believe in solidarity. I believe in you can't absolutely. Get better if no one tells you because all of us think that our stuff don't stink. So you need someone to tell you like, okay, well, and like when I was giving him the feedback, I'm always like, okay, one good, mm-hmm. then one bad, yeah. one yeah. good, then one bad. So you kind of keep it balanced, you know. You have to be real, especially people, man, us, it's not enough of us doing stuff like positivity right. Spartans. It's not enough of us doing stuff like Find Your Light. So when you just doing this kind of things and kind of stepping out, you have to right. be like, okay, well, this for is sure. how you can make it better and make it stick.
We appreciate you for coming on the episode. I mean, I loved it. This was, the energy is great. Your energy is great. Like, I can't thank you enough. The feedback, you know, you just coming on the show, you know, speaking how you speak, and you're very knowledgeable, and I can't say we appreciate you enough.
I am honored to have been asked. When Eric asked me, he know I do anything for him, so he didn't even have to ask me twice. So I was honored. I really was. I was like, who, me? Of course. I'm very honored, and I appreciate you guys for the exposure.
About, I mean, bringing the community together, because like you said, there's not enough of us doing it. So, you know, trying to take it to the next level. For sure, for sure. And with that, ladies and gentlemen,
definitely.
We bring our health and wellness series to an end. And as always, positivity, prosperity. Peace.